Amen. Friday before fall break, come on. Woo! What a gift. What a gift. What a gift. Hey, pray with me. God, fall break. What a gift. Thank you. But God, thank you for your word, a better gift. So give us ears to listen, hearts to receive. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to give you a word today, a word that I believe can change the trajectory of your lives. I mean it. This is a word that can literally change the direction of your life. It's an old, old word, but through the centuries and through the years, it's been misused and misunderstood in such a way, I think for many of us, when we hear this word, it feels more like a beating stick than a gift from God that it is to us. So before I tell you what this word is, I want us to listen to the word of God from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Don't even open your Bibles. Listen to the word of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be made known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made, so they are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not honor God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the great degrading of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to their degrading passions. Their women exchanged natural intercourse for unnatural. And in the same way, also the men giving up natural intercourse with women were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind and to the things that should not be done. They were filled with all and every kind of wickedness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, craftiness. They were gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, rebellious towards their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. They know God's decrees that those who practice such things deserve to die. Yet, they not only did them, but even applauded others who practice them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if this scripture sounds familiar, it should, because I preached on this very same passage 2 weeks ago in chapel, if you were here. And in that time, I tried to illustrate this cycle of sin by using an old school overhead. Some of you remember this. It was awful. It was awful. So I want to try to redeem this, but we need to know in this text, Paul is pointing us back to Genesis 3, to the fall, to original sin, but he's highlighting the progressive and cyclical nature of sin. And I want to try to illustrate that today through a chart. Ooh, isn't that better than an overhead? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to unpack this a little more. The cycle of sin that Paul gives to us in Romans chapter 1. He starts off and he says, sin, whether conscious or unconsciously, begins when we suppress the truth, meaning we push the truth down, we push it aside, we dismiss truth, we ignore truth, we silence truth. When we do that, it begins to affect our direction or our vision, which then leads us down to verse 21. They became futile in their thinking. Now, that word futile is really interesting in the Greek. It means to get off the right path and onto the wrong path. Isn't that interesting? When we begin to suppress the truth, it begins to turn us in a whole different direction. It impacts our vision as well because their minds were darkened. You think of the word darken, limited vision, limited perspective, confusion. So when that happens, it begins then to affect the way that we discern. And they exchange the truth about God for a lie. Our judgment is distorted. Our discernment is hindered. And so now we exchange the truth about God for a lie. So what happens, our minds begin to think what's a lie is true. What's false is right. What is wrong is good. Our minds become twisted, distorted, perverted. And when we begin to think that way, it then begins to give birth into perverted, twisted, distorted action. And they were filled with all kinds of wickedness. And then they practiced. And Paul gives us 21 examples of this, just in case we don't know what those are. And then what happens at its worst, we're living in this cycle of sin. And then at its worst, we then even invite others into this practice as well too. And isn't it, did you catch it at the end? It's not only that we practice it, that we encourage others to do it, and we applaud them. We cheer them on, and then they too jump into the cycle of sin themselves. It happens. It happens all the time. So the question is, so how can the cycle of sin be broken in our lives? And I think there's two primary responses how people deal with that. And I am the chart man today. Keep with me. I'm loving this. Okay. So one way people respond to breaking out of this cycle of sin is what I call the sin confession, sin dance. We've all been there. When we are when we're confronted with our sin, we, whether consciously or through the Holy Spirit, we see our sin, we feel sorry for our sin, so we acknowledge it, we confess our sin, which is a good thing, but what happens there, we confess it, but then we continue to face our sin. There's no change. And so what happens is we get stuck there, and we get in this pattern. We've been there. I have been there. Sin. Confession, God, I'm sorry, I won't, sin, confession, I won't do it, and we're back in this cycle again. We've replaced one cycle for another cycle, and we get stuck, and if you're there right now, you know what it feels like. It's hope, it feels like a sense of hopelessness. You're defeated all the time. You feel fatigued because over and over again, you just keep going back to the same sin, this cycle. Sin, confession, sin, confession. Confession is a first step, and the scriptures calls us to that, but it's not enough. We're missing one essential element that can be summed up in one word. It's a good word. It's a word that can change the trajectory of your life. If we were playing Wheel of Fortune, I'd have you guess the word. I'd say it's a 10-letter word, and if you had any money, four vowels, three of them are E's, one's an A, and the word starts with an R. Anybody want to take a guess? Oh, my guess, you'd win the game show. Here we go. So repentance. Repentance is the key to breaking out of the cycle of sin. I love one of my author by the name of Frederica Matthews Green calls repentance this. It is both the door and the path. I love that. Repentance is both a door and a path because it applies that it it leads us out and it calls us to somewhere. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. It comes from two smaller Greek words, meta, meaning change, noia, meaning the mind or thinking. It means to change one's mind. In the Hebrew, repentance means to literally change directions, to get off one path and get into another path. So let me give you one more piece here as time is cruising. So where does this path, where does this door lead us to? Paul says it clearly and helps us understand this more fully when he writes to the Corinthians and he says, yeah, now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, so you were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets, but worldly sorrow brings death. Paul looks at two kinds of sorrows. When we see our sin, we confess it, we feel sorry for it. But Paul says the worldly sorrow leads you in that cycle of confess, sin, and it leads nowhere. In fact, he says it leads to death. Death not physically, but separation from God because we continue to put our gaze on our sin. Paul says if you want to get your gaze off sin, repent, turn around, change your thinking, put your gaze on God. And when you do that, Paul says it leads to life, salvation, healing, wholeness, transformation. Wow, 10:51, I am wiped. So here's the deal. Repentance is the full breaking out of the cycle of sin. It's a great word. It's an old word. It's a word that can change the trajectory of our lives. Pray with me. God, repentance has gotten a bad rap over the years. For many of us, it feels like when we hear the word that it's like a big stick that just beats us up. But we need to realize that the word repentance is really a gift from you. And it's a key that leads us out of the cycle of sin into the fullness of life that you want to give us through your son, Jesus, through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension and his reign. Let it be. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.